The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
To reign in life through Christ means that no matter what's going on, you still know who you are in Christ, you still believe He loves you, you still got peace, you still got joy, and you're still bearing good fruit and helping other people.
Every day is a gift from God, so we need to live life on purpose and make each day count. Living the life that God intended for us means that we need to constantly seek Him and His will for our lives. Let me explain more about how to do that, and then I'll be answering some of your questions so you can seize the day.
Let me ask you a question. How do you think it would change our world if every person who calls themselves a Christian would get out in their sector of society and just act like one? This is about more than just going to church and warming a pew every week and thinking we got our check mark in heaven because we went. But let me ask you a question, just rather a serious question. Are you prepared? Have you even thought about this? Are you prepared to really stand your ground and live out what you say you believe if times get tougher? And I feel like God is sort of whispering in my heart, you need to start getting people prepared. Now, that's not bad news. That's not threatening news. That's not, oh, we got to all go around and be afraid. Really, to tell you the truth, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Because the worst thing that could possibly happen, which is really not all that bad, is you die. And if I'm reading my Bible right, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So we don't need to be afraid of dying. The fear of death just cripples people. But the truth is dying is not the bad thing. The thing that's bad is if you don't die in Christ. But if you die in Christ and you hang on, confident in Him until you breathe your last, honey, you're in victory with no more pain and no more sorrow and no more tears and no more crying. We cling too much to the things of this earth, and we don't think enough about eternity. And I've had this boiling in me now for maybe 6 weeks, and I just keep seeing it everywhere that I go, that the believers in the early days, the thing that gave them such courage and was they had this hope of eternity and this hope of living forever. How long is forever? It's long enough that I want to make sure I'm in the right place. Amen? It's nice to be blessed with things, but we don't need to get too attached to our things. And so I think that we are going to need to be brave, and you're going to have to be willing to take a stand if you're the only one that you know that's willing to take a stand. We may need to be willing to lose friends. You might need to be willing to lose a job because you refuse to compromise your integrity and your moral standard in order to keep that job. Come on. And I guess I just want to think, are we ready? Are we prepared? And I think those of us that are called to teach in the body of Christ need to make sure that we preach an encouraging and uplifting, a wonderful message that fills people full of hope. I believe that we all need to have hope. But I don't want you to be unprepared. I want to know if you're ready, and I want to know if you're not just ready to go to heaven, but if you're ready to stand your ground and really take a stand for Christ and not just stand up for Jesus, but are we really ready to do it out there in society where it really counts? Amen? I'm glad you're semi-excited, but I want you to get more excited. I don't know about you, but I lived too many years of my life in fear. Fear of what people thought, fear of what they were going to say, fear of what they were going to do, fear of whether they were going to abandon me, reject me, if I didn't get invited to the party, if nobody ate lunch with me. And you know what? I just refuse to live in fear anymore. Because you know what I've found out? If it's nobody but me and Jesus, I can make it. And so can you. Romans 5:17 says we're to reign as kings in life through Christ. Are you reigning over your circumstances, or are they reigning over you? And reigning over them doesn't mean that you have this super ability to just go poof and all your problems disappear. To reign in life through Christ means that no matter what's going on, you still know who you are in Christ, you still believe he loves you, you still got peace, you still got joy, and you're still bearing good fruit and helping other people. Amen. Luke 10:19 is a favorite scripture of mine. Let's take a look at it here on the screen. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions. And I've given you physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Now just leave that up for a second. The devil has power, but we have power and authority. There's a difference. Come on, he's got power, but we've got something he doesn't have. We have authority in the name of Jesus. And the only authority that he really has in our life is what we give him through unbelief. As long as we believe the word of God, no matter what we see, no matter what we think, no matter what we feel, God is working in our lives, and we have already won the battle. Now, it's very important to me that when you leave here this weekend, I have a goal. I want you to walk out of those doors believing, really being confident inside that whatever you need to do in your life, whatever unexpected storms come, whatever surprises come that you're not expecting, even if you don't get everything you want, that you're going to live with a brand new attitude, and that is, I can do whatever I need to do through Christ, who is my strength. I can do whatever I need to do through Christ, who is my strength. I can be a single parent and raise my kids, and I can hold my head up, and they're going to turn out to be good kids. I can have a new beginning. I can fail and begin again. I can do hard things. I can lose the weight I need to lose. I can get my health back. I can get in good shape. I can get my house cleaned up. I can get out of debt. I can do whatever God wants me to do through Christ, who is my strength.
Well, I believe you're ready to approach each day with new purpose. So now let's tackle some of your questions. Ginger has them ready. Well,
I'm
Ginger,
ready.
You're here with the questions, and I'm praying I'll have the answers.
Well, we've got some great questions today, and I think your answers are really going to help a lot of people.
Good.
Because let me just say also, I really love this book, The Seize the Day book.
Good.
It's just so practical. The way that we face every day
Right. Makes
a huge difference, not only for that day, but for 5, 10, 20 years
Right. Down
the road.
Exactly.
And so that's what a lot of these questions deal with. Sarah from Oklahoma City on social media is asking, managing my time has always been a struggle. I tend to put all my effort into my job as a teacher, and before you know it, I'm not focusing on my family. We're expecting our first child soon, and I'm worried that my time management will only get worse. How do I balance it all?
Well, the thing that I have learned is that if we really will listen to the Holy Spirit, and that usually just comes as a little prompting or a knowing, a little inner nod from God that we need to make a change. For example, like maybe if you hear your family say, I feel like I never see you. Well, to me, that's a warning.
Yeah.
It's no different than if my back keeps hurting, that's a warning that something's wrong. And so instead of just ignoring those things, we need to pay attention to them and say, well, I think I need to make a little change. You know, people ask me all the time, Ginger, how do you keep your priorities straight with the ministry and your family and on and on and on? And, you know, I finally realized that we have to keep them straight, we have to keep straightening them out. And so especially if a person knows that time management is a problem for them, make that a matter of prayer, even on a daily basis, and just ask God to really show you let you know when you're starting to let some area get out of balance, and then don't ignore that, but do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. You know, God will guide us. He promises to guide us, but we have to be willing to do what He shows us to do.
And sometimes it is the little tweaks that you make in your days that start to add up, and then it gets easier and it makes more sense.
That's exactly right.
And you realize before you know it, I've made a change that really helped.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so God will guide us if we'll follow Him.
Yeah, good.
How many times do people say, well, I knew I should have done that, or I knew I shouldn't have done that? Well, all those, you know, those are little signs that God is speaking to us, and we need to follow Him.
And the whole premise in this book is if we start making those changes this day instead of however many days down the road, you're really going to see a difference. Mary Ellen from Scotland says, I have a huge discipline problem. I have the best intentions but fail at the first temptation and struggle to get time for me just to be with God. What can I do?
Well, the first thing that I would do is stop saying that you don't have any discipline. Now, she may not be using discipline, but the Bible teaches us that God has given us a spirit of discipline. It's in 2 Timothy 1:7.
Yeah.
So don't say you're not disciplined. Matter of fact, the Word of God says in Romans 4:17 that God calls those things that are not as if they already existed. So as long as she sees herself as an undisciplined person, she's going to remain undisciplined. Mm. So I would start, and that's not the total answer, but I would start by saying, I have a spirit of discipline and self-control, and I follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
That's so good, because we're talking to a lot of people out there watching right now who are saying, I don't have discipline in my life. You're saying, no matter what their personality is or their past is, that the Holy Spirit is the discipline in their life.
Right, and we need to start by confessing that we have in our spirits everything that Jesus says that He gave us. And then the more we begin to believe that, the more it will be produced in our life. I'm not saying if she says one time I'm a disciplined person,
right,
she's going to get up tomorrow and everything is going to be different.
Right.
But another thing I want to say is people who don't manifest the discipline that they have, and I don't mean this at all to be insulting, it's just true, they're very emotionally driven. Very led by how they feel. And so, and I know, you know, this may sound bad to some people, but if you want to live in victory, you just have to stop asking yourself how you feel about things and just do what you know you need to do. And it's hard to begin with, especially if you haven't practiced it, but it does get easier and easier. To be honest, we get good at what we practice.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. And the more we do it day after day.
That's right.
Gloria from Arizona, I struggle somewhat in the area of choices. How do I tell which ones are God's intentions for me to make? And how can I know for certain which choice will help me in my life to get where God planned me to go?
Well, it's very possible that she's overthinking every choice that comes along and actually getting herself confused. I was asked to take a certain type of personality test the other day that was 259 questions. And one of the things they said is, don't overthink each question. Just put down what your initial response would be. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not suggesting that people make life-altering decisions based on, oops, I think I feel like I'll do that.
Right.
But let's just take, for example, the choice overload that's in the world today. Something simple like what to wear. Well, when I was a teenager, I had a closet that was about yay big, and I had probably 8 outfits in it. And you wore one on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday, so on and so forth. I probably had 2 pairs of shoes. I didn't get confused about which ones to put on. I had school shoes. I had dress shoes. Well, I stand in my closet now, which I can tell you is a lot bigger than this, a lot bigger than that. And I certainly have more than 7 outfits. And sometimes I will stand in there and just think, I just don't have a thing to wear. And that, of course, is just ridiculous. So we can have so many choices
right,
that they actually confuse us. The average grocery store has 48,750 items. You might find 50 different kinds of cereal. I went one day years ago to buy some sinus medicine, and I got so confused that I left without anything because I didn't know to get the drowsy, the stay awake, the sleep, the, you know, whatever it was. And so I do believe that sometimes narrowing your choices makes some difference. But then just, you know, if you're looking at a menu and you're like, well, that looks good, then do we really need to go on and reread the rest of the menu five times and just get confused? Now, I'm sure this person is talking about choices that are much bigger than that. But if you're trying to decide what you believe God wants you to do with your life, first of all, what are you good at? God's not going to call you to do something that you're not good at. What do you like? God's not going to call you to do something that you hate.
Yeah.
What doors are opening for you? You know, you can't knock a door down. You can only go through the doors that God opens. And so there, I really believe, again, we just overthink stuff. God told me one time, you just think everything to death. And so I had to learn to not over-exercise my mind while I was under-exercising my spirit.
Yeah.
Let's let the Holy Spirit lead.
And God is really good at redirecting us.
Oh, absolutely.
When we need it.
Absolutely.
So if we make a choice, he might push us in another direction. It's not the end of the world.
Well, and as we all know, a lot of the reason why people don't make choices or they have such a hard time making choices is they're afraid they're going to make a mistake.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you do, if your heart was right and you make a mistake, God will help you. He'll redeem that. He may use it in your life, and he'll help you get on the right track.
Yeah. Excellent. Tina from Alabama says, I have a bad problem with procrastination. There's so much that I put off doing and I don't know how to change. What can I do to finally stop procrastinating?
Well, maybe the thing for her to do to start, I mean, first of all, procrastination is a thief and a liar. Because if God tells us to do something, unless he tells us to do it later, the anointing to do it is always when God says to do it, and the anointing is the power of God to help us get it done. So when we put things off, we're not being obedient. Good intentions are not obedience. And so procrastination is very deceptive because it doesn't really make us think we're disobeying God. It's just that we're going to do it later. So it helped me to realize that if I don't do what God's telling me to do, unless he's told me to wait, then I'm really in disobedience.
Yeah.
And then I think another thing, let's just say somebody who's just put off so many things, and so they look around and they've got piles of this and piles of that and unfinished projects and things they need to do. Well, if you try to do it all at once, that's going to be overwhelming. So I would say for her, maybe just a good suggestion would be write five things on a list every morning that you want to accomplish and get done and just start ticking them off your list one after another. And here again, you know, the shirt everybody wears, just do it. I mean, that is the answer to procrastination. You have to just do it. And procrastination really is birthed out of a passive spirit. And that's a spirit that just kind of sits around and waits to feel like doing something. And here again, if you don't feel like doing something, that doesn't mean that you can't go ahead and do it. And our flesh really only has the ability to crave whatever we give it. And so if you let it lay on the couch all the time, that's what it's going to want to do. But if you're used to activity and you sit around too much, that's going to make you tired. So get moving in a good direction and start ticking things off that list one at a time.
Yeah. Sound advice. So I think we've got time for at least one more here. This asks, what do you do when you don't know God's plan for your life at all? I'm afraid of taking a path, not of his choosing, but I don't seem to be getting any guidance. And this is a little bit about what we were talking about, but this just seems like someone who's kind of paralyzed in fear. Yeah. You know, I'm afraid of taking a path, not of his choosing. So how do we get past that?
Well, you know, I've got a little phrase that I say, step out and find out. To be honest, I think there's a lot of people that don't know exactly what they're supposed to do. Even when God called me into ministry, I didn't know right away exactly how everything was going to pan out. I mean, I tell a story about when I first really got a passion for serving God. My church went out every Saturday, groups of people, and they passed out tracts on the streets of downtown. Well, I tried that, and I absolutely hated it. You know, I'm a bold person, but I'm not crazy about just going up to strangers and trying to start talking to them. And then I tried working in the nursery at church because they needed volunteers, and that took about 2 weeks for me and the kids to both know that that wasn't right. But when I started teaching, there it was.
It clicked.
Felt good.
Yeah.
It was easy. It worked for me. I enjoyed it. And so I think a lot of people here, again, we just confuse ourselves, the fear of making mistakes, the fear of being wrong. So if you think that you're supposed to do something, take a step in that direction and see if that works. If it does, take another step in that direction and see if it works. Take another step and see if the right doors open. But you can't drive a parked car. So you got to get going in some direction, step out and find out, and if need be, do it afraid.
So leave us with an encouragement of what we need to do for this day and why the choices that we make and the opportunities that we have today matter so much.
Well, first of all, let me say that time matters, and time is a gift from God. And time is an interesting commodity because we all get the same amount, and once you've spent it for something, you don't ever get it back. So we want to make sure that we are investing our time and not wasting our time. One day I was just like prayer talking to God, and I said, I just feel like I spend so much of my time doing thus and so and thus and so. And it just struck me, I'm spending time when I do that. So we encourage people not to waste money. We encourage people not to waste all kinds of things. But how much time do we waste? Now, I don't mean to say that we need to do something fantastic every moment of every day. But I think we need to know what we're doing with our time. And we need to approve of what we're doing with our time. And we need to have some kind of a plan. I have some kind of a plan for every single day of my life. I never just get up and think, well, let's see. See what happens today.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always got a plan. And even if I'm going to rest all day, I plan to do it.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
So part of what you're planning can actually be to relax.
Well,
it doesn't mean you have to fill every moment with something.
And that's
high pressure.
That's really how you have a balanced life. I plan to spend a certain amount of time in fellowship with friends. I plan what I'm going to eat. That's the only way that I can eat good and not gain weight. So many people that have a problem with their weight, they don't have any kind of a plan. They wait till they're starving, and then they stick something in their mouth that they know that they shouldn't eat. I call it mindless eating. You know, you need to think about things like that. Mm-hmm. I plan a bedtime. I plan what time I'm going to get up. Now, you might say, well, you know, that's nice for you. You're a disciplined person. But you know what? Anybody can do this if they really want to. And I think when I got to about the last third of my life, which I know that I'm in the latter season of my life now, it's going to be a long season, but I'm in it, I started to look at time a little bit differently. You know, it's one thing when you're 15 to think about, oh, I got all the time in the world. Or when you're, even when you're 30 or 40, you start to change a little bit when you get around 50. But let me tell you something, by the time you get around to where I'm at, you start thinking, I do not want to waste my time. Spending time with family is not waste. Mm-hmm. Spending time with God is certainly not waste. Your work should not be wasteful. Everything we do has a value if we do it purposely, and we make sure that it's something that we really need to be doing. So many people today would say, I just feel like my day goes by and I don't even really know what happened. I don't even know what I did. And it's because so often we're controlled by just the circumstances that come our way. Instead of us giving direction to the time that we have, we let everything else do that.
So taking this type of approach to each and every day is going to change our satisfaction in that day. It's going to change us reaching our goals in the long run, and it's going to change our walk with Christ. It's going to change our relationship with Him and other people.
Well, you know what, Ginger? Basically, we're all kind of control freaks. And by that, I mean, I don't think there's any human being, no matter what kind of personality they have, that likes to feel like that everything around them is controlling them.
Very true, yeah.
And so I like choices because it gives me a measure of control. I like to know that I'm giving direction to my day, and not just a bunch of other people or a bunch of circumstances. And so I really encourage people to seize the day, not let the day seize them.
Great, great. Thank you very much.
You're
welcome.
We
appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, today we're offering the book that I've written, Seize the Day. And I really want to encourage you to get it. I think this is an important book for every single person. And today, guess what? We're offering this for your gift of any amount. That's how much we trust you. We believe that you're going to send the very best gift that you can. And another piece of good news, everything that you send in today for this book is going to go toward helping keep the television program on the air. I believe that if the program has been a blessing to you, that you would like to help keep it on the air and make it available for other people. So I'm asking you to give a very special offering for our TV ministry today and receive my book, Seize the Day. We can live a life with purpose and make every day count. Well, whether it's getting out of debt, working on a relationship, or maybe even going back to school, you know, you only get one life. Well, what are you doing with yours? It's time to start living life on purpose. Pick up your copy of Seize the Day to learn how.
Today, we're offering Joyce's new book, Seize the Day, for your donation of any amount. Call us right now, toll free, 1-800-727-9673, or visit joycemeyer.org.
Started when I applied for medical school, you know, I was having such a difficulty, and I promised God that if I made it, I would give my profession to His service, to His kingdom, and I guess He remembered. You know, hopefully that we could talk to their faith also, and bring them closer to the Father. I think that's a wonderful thing.
It's time, ladies, because this life is not a dress rehearsal, so we need to seize every opportunity God gives us. Join thousands at the 2016 Love Life Women's Conference. Don't miss the fun with Christine Kane.
You go, girls. You did not give up. You did not stop. You continue to carry the baton of faith.
Beth Moore.
I'm redeemed by Jesus Christ. What does that mean to us besides everything?
And Joyce Meyer.
Why don't you stop looking at what everybody else does and comparing yourself to them and start realizing you can do something nobody else can do?
Worship with Carrie Jobe and Lauren Daigle. And a special message about America by Dave Meyer. Learn how to live a life of purpose on purpose at the 2016 Love Life Women's Conference, September 29th through October 1st. So go on, girl, register today.
Thank you, friends and partners. Together, we're sharing the love of Christ around the world. To find out more, please contact us or visit us online at joycemeyer.org. Join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.